What's up, Breakthrough Success Listeners? Mark Burry, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcast. And digital marketing is the top way of getting exposure for your content, getting exposure for your business, sales clients, all this really awesome stuff. But I feel like one of the things we can make the mistake of doing is only thinking about our locations when it comes to digital marketing. And I feel like if you're in the States, for instance, like sometimes it's only thinking about your state. In other cases, it's thinking about your whole country, but still feeling like you have the whole picture. But we have an entire world of so many different places. And what we are going to do in this episode is talk about how you can use digital marketing to grow your brand in Southeast Asia. We have a special guest who joins us today. She is the VP of VaynerMedia Singapore, where she is responsible for building the VaynerMedia brand in Asia and shaping marketing strategy for a portfolio of APAC and global clients. She previously led global media operations for VaynerMedia, charged with developing efficient processes and strategies for VaynerMedia's most strategic global clients across social, programmatic, search, analytics, influencers, and other mediums. Prior to that, she spent 6 years at Google working across various global divisions and offices after beginning her career in search marketing. Our guest today has a passion for data-driven thinking, travel, and literature. So she is none other than Avery Akinini. Avery, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here.
Avery, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. And I mean, it's really impressive, like all the different places you've worked for. And I think digital marketing, it is such a, like people know it's hot. People know that it's a great way to expand. But I don't think people think about it. Like if you're in America or like somewhere else in Europe or wherever, you may not be thinking of Southeast Asia or vice versa. So I feel like if you think internationally, you could really expand. So what if you could share with us how you got started with VaynerMedia and the Southeast Asia scene?
Yeah. So I got started with VaynerMedia by an introduction that was made between myself and the Vayner team about 4 years ago when I was working at Google. When I worked at Google, I worked with a number of different agency partners, both local agencies, regional, and then also global. And I was incredibly impressed with the caliber of talent at VaynerMedia and the excitement and energy they seemed to bring to work each day. I got to know a ton of different folks on the Vayner side and really enjoyed sort of their vibe. And most importantly, I really enjoyed the work that they were doing. So I was fortunate enough to join forces with Vayner in early 2018, where I took over our global media operations team. And from there, Gary Vaynerchuk, who's our CEO, long had ambitions around opening an office in Asia. And I think he initially started talking about it in 2017. In 2018, we really started to vet it out, think about what this would look like, think about first potential clients, think about where the office would be. All of that sort of logistical stuff started happening. And had the opportunity to go to Singapore and sort of help with some of those logistics. When I was there, I realized the incredible opportunity that Southeast Asia presents for VaynerMedia. For many of our marketing clients, Asia is their biggest growth market, and it's certainly like the most populous region on earth. And we believe that there's an immense opportunity to take a lot of the learnings that we have perfected in North America and help bring those to Asia, while also bringing talent on board to VaynerMedia, who's deeply familiar with the APAC region. When I think about the reasons, you know, we wanted to enter into Southeast Asia, it's really twofold. First being global client demand and clients that we are fortunate to work with across different regions. And they say, hey, Vayner, we're, you know, Asia's our biggest growth region, or Japan's a huge market for us, or, you know, we'd really like to do more in Indonesia. And without being here on the ground, it was really tricky for us to make that possible. Now with the opening of VaynerMedia Singapore, we do have the ability to take on those type of clients, which is an honor, and sort of scale out the global work that we're doing. That's part one. Part two is there are so many amazing businesses here in Southeast Asia that we are, you know, fortunate to partner with some of them. We're working with clients in the telecom space, in the beauty space, in the industrial space, on sort of telling their story. And these are all brands that are based here in Southeast Asia, which is super important to us. It's been really fun to work with these marketers as well, and we want to be part of their growth trajectory just as much as we want to continue the work that we're doing with our global clients.
And I mean, I know different regions, like, you know, we're talking about North America, we're talking about Asia, like it's just different people in those areas. But with the digital marketing side, do you see like a lot of the strategy and tactics and all that being the same, or are there some nuances between like, say, a North America strategy and an Asia strategy?
Definitely some nuances. I would say that platform wise, it's pretty similar. Facebook and Instagram and YouTube dominate. Twitter, Snapchat, LinkedIn are there, but not as big. But the thing about Southeast Asia is that it isn't really just one. North America is really just the US, and Canada is so similar. It's really a totally different market in Thailand than it is in the Philippines, than it is in Singapore, right? Many of the platforms are similar. I would say about 70% the same, but there is certainly regional nuance in terms of where people spend their time. For example, in Thailand and Japan, Line is huge as a messaging platform. We also know that in Korea, Kakao is really big. And people's behavior on social platforms is quite different than it is in the US. I'd also say that all of Asia is just so like this first, mobile first all the way. It's not even mobile first, it's mobile only. Desktop computers are really not used at all any type of a frequent way, and people consume a ton of content on their phones. Even the same thing with like a connected TV strategy, really that's not as big of a focus here in Asia as the phone. It is really extremely heavily dominated by mobile phones, which is cool. The US is kind of trending, North America is kind of trending in that direction. There's still some sort of legacy device behavior. I think the strategy also, outside of just the platform usage, needs to be tailored on the creative side more so than on the media side. On the media side, you know, there's still the concept of biddable platforms. There's the idea of underpriced attention. There's the idea of optimizing towards your business goals and results. That sort of theory and thinking still holds true. But on the creative side, what's beautiful in Vietnam is not what's beautiful in the US. And what's beautiful in Vietnam isn't necessarily even what's beautiful in Malaysia, right? Like it is a mosaic of different cultures that all kind of inform the APAC region. I think one of the biggest mistakes marketers could make is just saying, this is our APAC strategy, because really it does need to be customized quite a bit. And we've been focusing this conversation on Southeast Asia, but China is really a completely different ballgame, and actually one that we're not even necessarily playing in that game right now.
And it is very interesting to hear about all these differences. Like, I feel like China is a big example of like, you see the differences pretty clearly because they ban a bunch of social networks and sites, and they have their own versions of social networks. So like that, you see that there's the different platforms in play, but there's more subtle things that Avery is mentioning, like the social network preferences and social networks you haven't heard of but are really big in other places around the world. And that mobile shift, that's like SMS marketing. I do that, like I say text strategy 231996 instead of giving the entire link because it's just easier to use SMS. And yeah, I feel like with digital marketing, there's just so much happening. Like in North America, like you feel like there's just like you're trying to catch up, like, you know, like, oh, thank goodness I finally did Snapchat today or something like that. How do you keep up with all the stuff going on like all over the Asia area and like be active still with the social media presence for VaynerMedia?
Absolutely. That's a great question. And for VaynerMedia, we actually have a rotation of different folks from our creative team who post on the our account. So they do a great job of keeping that up to date and fresh. But in terms of learnings, I actually block time out of my day to kind of, you know, immerse myself in the culture that's happening on places like Instagram and even recently TikTok. A couple of days ago, I just spent an hour on TikTok. I was like, okay, what are people doing here? Like, what's trending? Why do they like this? How can we take what's happening here and like apply it to the work that we're doing for our brands? I think that's super important, is just spending the time. It's straight up just elbow grease, where spending time in the platforms and really understanding what's happening actually is part of our job for clients. It's like we need to have our finger on the pulse so we're not just repeating the same thing, because things, as you mentioned, Mark, are changing so rapidly. And in Asia, the diversification of platforms also means that you need to have a pulse in that in each market. It's a priority for your client.
And I mean, I definitely get the Asia market is growing and that it is a place where, like, if you're a local business, I don't know how much this will benefit you, but I feel like if you're one of these like digital marketers or you sell dog food or whatever it is you sell, you could get people from all around the world. This is really useful for you.
Even you know, companies like Amazon, I'm not sure if any of your listeners are private labelers, but Amazon is sort of growing their presence here. There are a bunch of other different e-commerce markets that are doing a ton of business. So extending your business into some of the Amazon markets is a great idea. Or considering, are these customers that you can reach out to through other platforms that enable faster shipping? Something like that. I think, you know, this is a market where there is a ton of spending power and a ton of growing consumer power. And from a digital media perspective, the business results we're able to drive are so much more efficient in North America, simply because the auctions are not as competitive. So it's pretty cut and dry.
This episode, we'll talk about communicating with people in different languages, because in some of these hot areas, people do speak in languages other than English, which certainly makes sense because there's a lot of languages around the world. So we'll be talking about that. But first, if you are looking to learn new languages or business skills or anything like that, the resource I want to recommend to you all is Skillshare. Skillshare is what I like to refer to as the Netflix of learning. They've got around 30,000 courses. I have about 30 courses on Skillshare, a course on my own on Skillshare. It's a really great resource. So what they're doing for Breakthrough Success listeners is they're giving you 2 free months of Skillshare. So if you go to skillshare.com/breakthrough, you'll be able to pick up your 2 free months, be able to go through all these like really awesome courses that are created by a bunch of really awesome instructors. And Skillshare, like, there's constantly new stuff getting added to it each day. So if you want your 2 free months of that, definitely go to skillshare.com/breakthrough and join me there. Anyway, let's go back to talking about the Southeast Asia market and being able to communicate with people who speak a different language than we do and incorporating that in our marketing. And one of the things I was thinking about is like the way you communicate with people in Southeast Asia, because I'm from the US, I'm a New Yorker, so like there's the context on me. So like the way I'm talking right now is fine, like for someone in New York, but when you go to like a place where you have to speak a different language, like how do you communicate with people that way? Like, are the Instagram posts like still in English, or is there like some custom like account where like Gary V's like doing like a different language posts?
Yeah, so Gary's actually, there are different Gary V's in different languages. The team Gary does a great job of translating that all, because yes, he does make them for each different language. That's Gary's strategy. For our brands, it's very common they have local handles. For example, if in the priority markets, so if the priority market is China, Japan, US, Korea, whatever, they will have different handles for each of those. And it really depends on how the brand also positions themselves in their products. Like, is their website only in English, or do they have multiple different websites? Things like that are all kind of considerations that need to be taken into account, because, you know, obviously with the ads, we adjust the copy to be the appropriate language. But in terms of like an organic handle, even like platforms like Line, you actually need to have a different handle for each specific location. So yeah, I think that multiple handle strategy is super common and probably the best way to do that. It's just about picking which handles, which countries you have the time to invest in localizing on a regular basis.
And it's a good thing that Avery mentions picking like a few of the hot areas, because I mean, it's a lot of time to translate all of those, like, or have a team of people. But I don't know if everyone listening is ready to hire someone or hire a bunch of people to hit on all of these markets. So for someone who maybe they just speak one language and they're just in like one continent, like North America right now, what's your advice for that person to gradually start expanding into these other markets?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just to assess the business feasibility. Does it make sense for a business to extend there? Is there an opportunity there? If you're selling dog food, great. Is this something that, like, where would you sell? Like, where do people have dogs here? Like, which type of communities would you target? It's probably gonna be affluent people, which is less common to have a dog here, right? So I would say first assess the business feasibility and look into sort of consumer behavior. Secondarily, I would say look into places that, you know, you might be interested. There is a good intersection of your own interests and that business opportunity. For example, if, you know, you are a person who speaks Bahasa, right? Indonesia might make a lot of sense for you, for a place to kind of, to tap into that expertise. However, if you're English only, maybe you go places like India where English is very common. You go places like Singapore where English is a national language. So kind of look into the business opportunity and also the side of things of like where you're interested or you may have talents.
Yeah, and that is fascinating. Like some of the places, like they do speak English. So like, even if you feel like if you're in like a place that like you feel like it's only English in that area, and then you look at like other continents, you'd think they all speak different languages. There are still some that speak English. And I'm sure like if you're Spanish or you're French or any language, you could definitely find some different pockets where like your language, like it's still in those areas. One of the things that I do find fascinating, I see a lot more people like speaking in Singapore. Like I've seen Grant Cardone, like he does a ton of videos of him speaking in Singapore, but like from an online advertising standpoint, like is there like a big difference you're seeing in like cost per conversion, like between like someone from North America or someone from Singapore or something like that? Or like do you do the online ads? Is that a question I could ask?
Yeah, for sure. Cost per conversion tends to be a lot cheaper here. That's because, you know, primarily on digital platforms, they're biddable and it's all based on an auction system. So I think there are one, fewer advertisers in the auction, and secondarily, they're bidding lower. The flip side of that is cost per conversion is lower, but also cost, like average order value is also lower. Consumers here don't have the same spending power for the most part as like the average North American. So that's a difference that we definitely see. Pricing is lower here. Everything from sort of pricing of talent that we'd be recruiting to pricing of buying your lunch. Prices are, Singapore's quite expensive, but in some of these other markets, you know, if you're a New Yorker, you'd think it's a bargain to be in Thailand for a day in terms of pricing. And I think that that's reflected in average order value. The cost per acquisition though, or cost per download or something like that, those more standard metrics, much cheaper here in Southeast Asia.
Oh, that's interesting because I remember Netflix is, I believe the guy said that like the next like 100 million people are going to come from India or something like that, like in terms of their users, and they have like a much cheaper structure in India than in the US. I remember hearing something about that. So it is fascinating you bring that up.
Yeah, that's absolutely really common. Like the price people are willing to pay for services is just lower. And also their spending power is lower. So it's all kind of on a relative basis.
Yeah, it's definitely very fascinating because I feel like there's like a lot of opportunity in these different places that people just don't know because they like to look at their own backyard. And I mean, someone like Gary Vaynerchuk is like, has a whole team with awesome people like Avery on it going out here in Singapore. And I mean, he's one of those guys where it's like, if you see him doing something, you should pay attention to even do it also.
Well, it's very nice of you to say, Mark.
Thank you. So I'm wondering if you can share with us, because I know we've talked about a lot about digital marketing, but I mean, for someone to like be in VaynerMedia, be in Google before that, what would you say are some of the habits and things that you've been doing on a consistent basis that helped you get to where you are?
Yeah. So number one is read. I love reading. I was an English major in university and I read all the time. I just like read about things. It's like, okay, great. What's happening with TikTok? What's happening with Netflix? Like what's happening with these companies? Just reading the news and paying attention to what's happening, I think has been a major advantage for me. So I read for quite a bit of time every day. I also would definitely recommend sticking to a schedule. The way I operate is pretty scheduled. I'll like kind of block things off, things I need to get done, try and be organized about, you know, moving forward with all the different projects we have going on. And then the last habit I would say is important is to keep in touch with people. It's a small industry. And actually, I recently had dinner with a woman who I worked with at Google 7 years ago. So keep in touch with those people who you cross in your career because you're going to catch them again. Karma is super important, and staying on great terms with people is only going to help as your career grows, because ultimately it's a small world.
Wow. Those are some really great ones. I mean, the learning, that's why I host this show. If you listen to each of the episodes, you're going to learn more. I learn a lot by interviewing people like Avery. And the that idea where, like, I love relationships too. Like, I make it a point to reach out to people in my community who I haven't reached out to for a while, or who are just in there, and I just want to learn more about them. So definitely really great tips. For people who are wondering, where can we find you, see your progress, see all the stuff you're working on, where are some good places for us to go?
Yeah, LinkedIn. I'm Avery Akinyemi. So please follow me and connect with me. Would love to connect with your audience, Mark. I would also say, you know, if you're ever in the Singapore area, hit up singapore@vaynermedia.com. We'd love to have you in the office, looking for kind of new partnerships here as we launch in region. And then I'm also on, you know, Instagram, Twitter, and all the others, still under the name Avery Akinyemi. So I hope to have the opportunity to connect with some of your community as well.
Avery, thank you so much for sharing all those resources with us. We'll throw all those in the show notes, along with my link, markberry.com/strategy, for anyone who wants to schedule a free call to see how we can work together to grow your business. But Avery, really awesome stuff. I think Southeast Asia is such a great opportunity. It seems like you're crushing it. So thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of your evening.